You're with SBS Radio.
Marami ng karanasan sa buhay at trabaho si Shane Dalupan. Mula IT hanggang healthcare, ngayon sumasabak siya sa isang negosyong hindi niya akalain noon na papasukin niya, ang cider.
My parents were travelers. They finished their university in the Philippines, and they both attended University of the East. And at which point they soon realized, and I guess that's their own personal narrative, when they were quite young, that the future lay outside of the Philippines. And so they moved on, and my mother did further study. She became a nurse, but she got a scholarship in England. And so she went to the Royal Brompton Hospital, and my father ended up working for the U.S. Embassy in West Germany. And so I guess because of that personal narrative, they instilled in that want to think outside the box and experience life. And so as a consequence of them traveling and wanting more in life, I was born in the Middle East. So that came about due to my mother looking after a prince, one of the princes of the United Arab Emirates, at which point he appointed her to be the ICU head. And so they started to live their lives there. They became very well aware of other cultures. They were one of the very first expats to live there. The point being is that when we moved to Australia, having that very vast and varied background, I was able to, broaden my horizons in terms of what lay ahead in life. I wouldn't say I was fortunate. I would probably say I was like everybody else who went to uni. Weren't too sure. Parents told you what to do, and you thought, okay, I'll go do that. And so I started off in computer science, and it didn't quite work out the way that I was hoping. One, I mean, I knew that certainly in the early 2000s that IT was a very stereotyped area of choice. And so when I say stereotyped, there were very limited women around. And being a very young male, it was hard to come to terms with. And if you went to an all-boys school and then your exposure then was more males in uni, you're thinking, wow, you know. Again, as much as it's about making the right choices in life, you are certainly going through a hormonal stage in life. And so I went off the beaten path and just decided, look, if it's my next choice, I'll choose the one where there's a lot more women in it, and I consequently ended up in nursing. But fast forward, and now I'm here, and you know, my wife is an accountant, so it didn't quite pan out. But it's been a funny journey, and during my time in university, I was made aware that my uncle, my great uncle, was the founder of the University of the East. So when I started to delve into his history, because the family never really spoke about him, I guess because he was a great uncle and not a straight lineage, it was a case of, you know, I want to know a little bit more about him. And because he was an accountant and then all of a sudden created or founded this university, I thought, okay, well then clearly, you know, he's essentially, you know, his personal narrative was quite different. He decided that he would push the boundaries and decide that the only barriers in life that we put for ourselves, sorry, the only barriers that we put or are put in front of are the barriers that we put for ourselves. So I thought, okay, well then this is a lay person who's decided to do something incredible with his life. And so it always stuck with me, and I always thought, okay, what is my legacy? What can I contribute to my family and to the people around me in the greater community if I can? And as much as I'm currently working in healthcare, I always found that my direction in life lay somewhere else. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, but never, ever get to a point of ever achieving that, or at least they don't feel like they've achieved that. And it was just through about roughly 2004, still in university. I had plenty of time up my sleeve. There's a place that grows apples in Queensland called Stanthorpe. And I decided to go there simply because a bunch of mates just wanted to try their apple pie. I decided, look, why not? Went there, and then on the shelf, there were a few of these bottles, and they were called cider. And I thought, that's different. And, you know, if anyone recalls in the early 2000s, cider certainly wasn't even, didn't even have a footprint or even an imprint of any sort here in Australia. And so I thought, this is new, this is different. But clearly, you know, cider has been around in Europe for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so I thought, I really like the taste of this. There might be something there. And so I started to play around with it, and it became a hobby. And then from there, I just continued to dabble.
Can you tell us more about your business, about Apple Boy Cider?
Yes. So Apple Boy Cider was created out of a lack of depth in the industry with regard to the flavor profile of apple cider. Often you'll get, whether it's a cheaper option or a more expensive option, the depth of flavor is, I feel like it's lacking in the industry. And so I've decided if my wants are not being met, then surely a lot of people are feeling the same way. So I decided to embark on creating a very complex cider that's, when you taste it, it's slightly on the thicker side in terms of viscosity. So it's not a liqueur. It's not watery. It's just perfect. It's perfectly balanced, and it encaptures a lot of that, and encapsulates a lot of that apple, the apple scent and the aroma, and also that apple flavor, which I feel that a lot of the time that it's a very sugary drink that you drink, that's a cider, which I think, you know, a lot of people, they have issues with. But if you look at the broader sense, the people who make cider are often targeting people between the ages of 18 and 25. And most of the time, their palate profile is geared towards sugary drinks. But then if that's what you're doing, you're isolating your market, it means that people who do love wine, because cider and wine are more or less the same in terms of how they're made. And so there are a lot of wine lovers out there who would much appreciate to have another fruit choice out there. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be something that they want to approach, considering how sugary ciders have been. And so that's where Apple Boy sits. It's to try and bridge that gap between wine lovers and also bring into the fold beer people. And so in order to bring beer people into the cider world, I decided to come out with a second drink, which was hopped chili. And hopped chili is trying to get the aromatics and the slight bitterness from beer into an apple cider, and then finish it off with this very, very much a slight buzzing sensation to the back of the palate, which is the chili. But it's not meant to overpower, like a lot of drinks out there that do play with chilies or anything hot. People take it literally and they try to blow your head off. And so it's all about balance. And if you ever get a chance to try Apple Boy Cider, that's essentially why we exist. It's to try and give you an appreciation of cider that I feel is lacking currently. The alcohol industry is certainly changing. Once upon a time, people would go for the hard liquor, the spirits. And it's not to say that people don't drink that now, but I think the younger generation are aware that it's an adjunct to being able to socialize. And if you drink anything higher than a wine, it sort of inhibits your ability to continue. So I think the generations do want alcohol, but they want something that obviously pairs that back. And cider certainly sits in the category very similar to beer. But I guess beer lovers love beer because of its complexity. But also people who once liked beer, often they'll hit the age of 30 and they end up getting a gluten intolerance. And so having a gluten intolerance means that, you know, certain things you then start to react to. And so you're a bit mindful of that. And so cider is an alternative that they can choose.
Currently, do you have your own place where you sell your cider, or do you have stockists?
No, I looked at it very objectively. I didn't want to be too emotive with my decision making, being that you know, the finances being of issue, you want to try and spread it out as best you can so that you get most value for money. And if you're lucky enough, which I feel I am, that I didn't have to invest so much money into a physical world, so to speak, I could just get what I needed through contractual agreements. That was the path that was best for us and best for the company.
You were saying something about thinking outside the box. Anyone thinking of putting up a business, how do you get inspiration from the things around you? What advice can you give to others?
Continue down each and every path, every thought that you have, every idea that you think that you could perhaps lend yourself to, follow it and see how far it takes you. And then you'll get a gut feeling at some point down that pathway, which tells you it's not going to work out, or it will. And then you either then pull the trigger and decide that's what you want to do, or be willing and able to then walk away from it and start again. Because eventually, if you try hard enough down as many paths as possible, you will get to a point where something works.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.